most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
You're listening to LA Talk Radio Channel 1. To call in, dial 323-203-0815. That's 323-203-0815.
You're listening to Dave's Good Vibration Station with Dave Cohen, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Guys, this is the Good Vibration Station. I'm your host, David Cohen, on LATalkRadio.com, world's most listened to internet talk radio station in the world. What's up, guys? This is the show where we raise your vibration. Dave's Good Vibration Station. You're tuned in to raise your frequency. If you guys want to call in live on the show, you can do so 323-203-0815. Once again, that's 323-203-0815. Guys, are you ready to get tuned in? Wait, you already are. So this is the show where we talk about anything and everything to raise your vibration. We are on LATalkRadio.com, and we're about to talk some shit. No, I'm just playing around. Hey, guys. Every Sunday, we meet here over the internet, and we talk about a multitude of things, anything from relationship problems to religion to, theories and science and to music, a lot of music, to shenanigans, to anything and everything. And on today's show, we actually, we have been so very blessed to have such an amazing guest. He's calling in because currently he is in Santa Cruz, California. Let's say hey to Danny. How you doing, brother?
Hello, brother. I'm doing awesome.
Yeah, that's good, man. Now, just to let the listeners know, why are we having you on the show today? Well, I'm going to tell them. Because Danny Lewis, the one, the only Danny Lewis, he is my best friend, one of my best friends. He is a brother. He is a part of my heart, my soul, and I love him unconditionally. And the reason why I'm bringing him on the air today is because school's out, or school's just ending. And, you know, when we're about to graduate, the only thing, you know, that's really on our mind is graduation and getting out and, you know, like, oh, summertime, we don't have to do this, you know, school, whatever. But the biggest thing that happens to everybody, especially if you're, you know, in college, like Danny over at UC Santa Cruz, you know, or even if you're, you know, in middle school and you're graduating the eighth grade, you have this sense of procrastination. You have this underlying feeling of, oh, I'm done, you know, like, fuck it, like, you know, I mean, school's out, right? Why would I want to take a test? Why would I care about writing an essay? Like, school's out in 2 days, you know what I mean? So, yeah. I brought Danny on the show to have him speak to all the listeners out there, especially you kids, about how important it is not to procrastinate in college. And from there, we're going to go on to other aspects of procrastination and how that can really affect your life in not such a great way. So, Danny, first of all, I love you, man. Let's start out. How you doing?
I love you too, man. I am I am procrastinating.
Yeah,
that's
you
what I'm
are.
Doing.
Yes, yes, he is. What are you supposed to be doing? What are you procrastinating towards?
Well, I am supposed to be writing two essays, actually.
Okay.
That's on St. Augustine's City of God, which is basically, a treatise on the Bible.
Okay.
Which is actually pretty rad.
That's pretty rad. That's pretty intense, man.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, to say the least.
But, you know, I have started writing on it, even though, you know, I've had this assignment for a couple weeks now.
Right.
But I just started, you know, a couple days ago.
And when's it due?
It is due Tuesday.
Hey, man.
On Tuesday night.
You should tell your teacher that, unfortunately, you had a difficult time writing the essay because you were you were too busy being a star on internet radio.
Yeah, I was doing my thing.
I'm just kidding. Whoa, guys, watch
God.
Out. If you see Danny on the street, make sure to ask for an autograph. No, seriously, you're gonna want an autograph from Danny, because in 5 years from now, when you see the big D. Lou in Shining Lights, I see my name in shining lights. Oh, why, I swear. The world better prepare for when Danny's a billionaire. So check this out.
Was that a Davy Crockett original right there?
Davy Crockett original in the flesh, Doc. So here's why we brought Danny on, is because he's living proof of why you shouldn't procrastinate. No. It takes one to know one, right? No, I'm just playing around. Danny, so you have these essays due. When did you say they were due? Tuesday?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh, man.
Yeah.
Well, I want to kick off just for the listeners to hear. When you first got into college, when you first went to UC Santa Cruz and you were a freshman, mm-hmm. Now you're going to be – dude, Danny, you're going to be a junior.
That's nuts.
That's crazy.
I'm halfway done through college.
Yeah, that's weird to think about, man. Wow.
Yeah.
That's
and
crazy.
It's 2012.
And it's 2012. There we go. We're shifting the poles. But yeah.
Get thrown into cataclysmic apocalypse. Yeah.
There you go, man. Getting ready. Putting my safety goggles on.
Yeah, I'm gonna wear bulletproof vests.
Yeah, right.
Every time I step out of the house.
Totally. So D, when you first went to UC Santa Cruz, did you procrastinate at all? Like when you were a freshman, when you first started out?
Well, I don't know if you remember, but before I actually went to UC Santa Cruz, I had to like send them a transcript from some summer school. Do you remember this?
Right, and you almost didn't go.
They almost rescinded my acceptance letter.
Oh, my God. Okay, well, tell how that happened. Tell us about this.
So I did some summer school over high school, and basically just procrastinated in having that school, which is, actually across the country. I procrastinated in having them send the transcript to UC Santa Cruz.
Okay.
And I realized, like, what was happening less than a week before that deadline
right.
was about to happen.
Right, right.
And, oh, my God, just the most stressful week of my life. I mean, I almost didn't go to college.
Right, right. Wow.
Because of that bad habit.
And, like, it's so fascinating when okay, for example, I've been put in situations where, I put myself in the situation, like I need to do something mm-hmm. or I need to get something or like something needs to happen. And this happens a lot too, where like I know that I need to dial myself in, I need to get my shit straight. I need to do what I have to do to make sure that I cover my ass. You know what I mean? And
mm-hmm.
and then we don't. Like how stupid
yeah.
are we? So like we don't, but then here's the thing is like, and I actually, I read this, from a bit of a dissertation on procrastination is when you procrastinate and then you get that high level of stress and you put yourself under that, you know what I mean? It affects everybody around you in a negative way. And I also wanted to talk about this a little bit. For example, Danny, here we go. So you're trying to get into college. All of a sudden, you know, you think everything's good. We're flying high. You know, we're going to Santa Cruz. And then you need to turn this in, right?
Yeah.
So, like, I'm sure that if you – and I'm not putting you down, dude, because I mean, trust me, I've had my fair share of – hella procrastinations where I've fucked other people around me over because of my lack of you know, focus or whatever. So, but I'm using you as the bunny rabbit, dude. You're going to be the guinea pig. So
happy to be the bunny.
You're one good looking bunny, man.
I got a fluffy tail.
Oh no. Oh, Danny.
okay. Well, we all go down that rabbit hole.
Hey, that's for a different show. No.
But I'm
So, okay. Danny's trying to get into Santa Cruz. All of a sudden, Santa Cruz is like, wait a minute. Before you can get in here, we need these papers letting us know that you completed the summer school class. And then, so all of a sudden, this is what happens. We're put with this burden. We need to get Danny into college, right? So what's Danny going to do, and who's Danny going to go to? Well, Danny goes to mommy and daddy, right? Does Danny go to mom and dad?
Nope.
No, Danny.
I did not tell them.
That's funny, dude. So, okay.
I was just, like, all in my own head. I was like, oh, my God. Because, you know, it was like, up in the air, you know, whether the papers would arrive at Santa Cruz by that deadline.
I remember that. I remember that, too. I remember that. Wow. And we were previously at our buddy's house. We were over at Kevin's, yeah, earlier. I remember that.
Yep.
Kevy. He's another Dave's Vibration Station member. But so here's the thing. Basically what I'm saying is when you have all this to do, and then all of a sudden the people in the office have to get their shit together. They have to look your file up, and then they have to fax, and then Santa Cruz at the last minute, you know, people in the office have to be like, oh, wait, never mind. Don't send the rejection letter. Danny Lewis is good. And like, but you know what I mean? How it just affects everything else around you, how it's like a chain reaction. But that also goes the other way. When you don't procrastinate, when you do dial your shit in and you do get your stuff together, like, life is smooth and everybody around you is like cool with what you're doing. You know what I mean? Like, everybody is chill because you've got yourself set up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Also, I feel like procrastination with life and with time as we grow older, you know, we have an unconditional growing level of responsibility that lies on our shoulders with each and every year that we grow. You know what I mean? And I feel like one of those responsibilities is to learn how not to procrastinate.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Does that make sense, bro? Well, Danny, tell me.
You know, it comes back to, you know, managing, you know, your life and, like, structuring your time in the way that, like, that allows you to be your best self all the time.
Right. Say that again. Say it again.
it comes down to you being able to structure your time in the way that allows you to become your best self.
Right.
All the time.
Absolutely. And I feel like, Danny, I feel like that's a very powerful statement. And I say that because I also, on the show today, when we were talking about procrastination, I wanted to start it off revolving, obviously, around school because, you know, that's what we're seeing right now and kids are graduating and stuff. But on top of that, I would say even more importantly than that is procrastinating in life. And I was actually listening to a video by the channeler Bashar. Channeler Daryl Anka, and then the channel who comes through is Bashar. And he was saying how when you procrastinate, he actually said, and this is another inspiration for today's show, is he said, when you're procrastinating and you're not following your highest excitements in anything in life, let it be like let's say you really want to, you know, go get strings for your guitar, you know, but like you're just too lazy, or like you are really, you know, just anything in the world, man, anything. You need to go get gas. Like you want to go get gas, but like you're too lazy. You know what I mean? Like something
or
like that.
Or maybe like you can't because you're procrastinating.
Exactly. 150% on the dot. But here's what he said, what I felt was super profound, right? And this goes beyond any physical human like knowledge where we can pinpoint like with our physical minds and be like, he's right, you know? But like, okay, I know. You're like, what the fuck is David saying? We'll take a step back. Listen. So he's like, when you procrastinate, he goes, what you're actually doing is every moment that is passing by that you're still choosing to procrastinate, he's like, that's actually that's multiple facets and multiple levels of opportunity that you're throwing away. And he goes, opportunity to do anything. He goes, when you go down, let's say you want to take your dog for a walk. This was his example. He goes, let's say you want to take your dog for a walk because it's a nice day, but you'd rather maybe just sit on the couch and watch TV because you don't feel like getting up and putting the leash around your dog, but you'd love to go outside. You know what I mean? You're procrastinating is what's up. So he goes, when you procrastinate and you choose, you know, as a metaphor, not to walk the dog, he goes, you never know the people that you could have met when you went to walk your dog that day. And you never know why. And this is what I'm saying. Our physical minds can't perceive this because, you know, physical mind can't really see into the future. You know what I mean?
Or the multiple possibilities.
Or the multiple like, infinite number of possibilities of who we could have met, what could have happened. Right. Exactly. So what he says, though, and see, with physics, it aligns, though. That's why I'm so passionate about it, is because according to physics, it makes sense. Like, if we have an excitement, if we have a fire, that's energy in us that is reacting with energy in our surroundings to where some, on some scale, on some prism, there is a vibratory force of alignment between yourself and your surroundings when it comes to, you know, your excitements. You're excited for a reason. You know what I mean?
And letting those excitements intermingle.
Exactly. Exactly. Letting those excitements lead you, you know, take over the procrastination. You know what I mean? And, you know, that's the kind of stuff that's just fascinating to me as well, to think that, you know, every single moment that we are not doing what we want to be doing, we're actually, you know, passing opportunity up, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, what do you think about that, D? What are your thoughts, man?
I completely agree with you. And when you like really organize your time, you maximize your opportunity potential.
Absolutely.
You know, and it's hard to talk about in words because it is completely infinite, those possibilities.
Right.
For one, we can't even begin to perceive because one, it hasn't happened yet.
Right. And, yeah. Exactly. Exactly.
And two, it's infinite.
Right, right. It's absolutely
so,
right. So yeah, there's no, like, there's no, you know, specific, like, there's no concrete, definitive, like, way where you could be like, well, if I do this, then this is going to happen. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, if I do take the dog for a walk, then I'm going to run into Kanye West, and he's going to love me and sign me. You know, like, you know what I mean? Like, something like retire, you know. But, like...
But it could happen. It could happen.
It could happen. It could happen.
Highly unlikely, but it could happen.
Highly unlikely, but it could... But then, that's a whole...
Well, then again, it's... Exactly. That's one out of infinity.
Right. That's a whole other spinoff, but... What we're talking about. And You know, I want to get back to procrastination for a minute. I want to get between procrastination and excitement. That's another thing that I wanted to hit on, which I find to be interesting. So, here we go. If according to Bashar, we'll say that, you know, when you procrastinate against your excitement, then, you know, you don't align with your whatever and things don't work out because you're procrastinating. But my thing and my question, and I'm sure that there's a few other listeners out there that thought this, is like, why, if it's your excitement, would that, why would you procrastinate for something that excites you? Do you know what I mean? Like, well, actually,
yeah,
I mean, no, because I thought of my own life for a moment. I just like put myself, and like, there's a lot of things that I get really excited about, but I procrastinate on them hardcore. Like, I just won't do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Why is that though? Like, why are we so stupid? Like, why are we so dumb?
I mean, it's not that we're dumb. It's that we let these outside forces heavily influence our own lives. For example, right. Having a job.
Right, having
like
a job.
But the you know, okay. The flip side of it is you need to eat.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, we're not hunter.
But you know, then again, there are ways around it. For example, you could work on a farm somewhere.
Right. Right.
Yeah, but you know, again,
right.
Depending, you know, if you want to be a rock star, you can, you know, go work in Idaho.
Right. You know, milking cows all day. That's just not gonna. That's not gonna work.
Well, you could record the squeezing of the udders and make some electronic music.
Oh wow, that's see, Danny, you're just a creative cat, man. You're just one
revolution.
You're just one cool cat. Revolution. That's funny. What would that be called? What would the genre? Uttered?
Uttered? Utterly Electronic would be the name of the band.
Yeah. That's funny, man.
Yeah.
So, no, but right off the bat, Danny, you're absolutely right. You know, it's just, it's almost like a teeter-totter, bro. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's like, which, like, it has to be in balance, you know? Like, you have to find a balance between, you know, doing, like, following your excitements and then, you know, well, I feel like you always should follow your excitements, but you need to find a balance between that and then still putting food on the table. You know what I mean?
Right.
But
totally.
here's the key, man. Here's the fucking key. This is the golden fucking ticket right here, is when you can take each side of the teeter-totter, take the following my excitement and then take the I still have to work and put food on the table and then combine them and make them one to where your excitement is actually a product of you putting food on your table because you chose to get off your ass and not procrastinate and you went out there and found a good job that you like to do and then you started to get paid for it because you didn't procrastinate.
Yeah. and then you do both.
And then you do both.
Effortlessly.
And while, here we go. No, check this out. While you have an amazing job and you're still putting food on the table, then you can have a garden in your backyard. You can have a farm. And you can milk your cows and you can grow your corn, grow your tomatoes, make your salsa. You know what I mean?
Yeah, seriously. Food
yeah.
On lawns.
Right? It's all
There's
about
this movement actually that's going on across the states, and people, instead of, you know, watering their grass,
right.
are watering tomatoes and watering grapes,
right?
And,
right.
You know, bringing that produce to their home.
I've heard about that. I've heard about that. I think that's one of the greatest things that like we could ever do.
Right.
This is really off topic, but I was just gonna say in my logic class.
Nice class. Great class.
Great
Everyone
class.
Everyone should take a logic class.
Logic class. Very cool. In my logic class, my professor was a super cool guy. And we were talking about logic, right? Logic. Okay. I'm never going to forget. On the first day of class, he says, you know, welcome to logic class, blah, blah, blah. He asks us a few, you know, like psychological questions. And then he goes, do you want to know what the most illogical thing is about our society today, about our world? And the whole class is like, what? Like, what's this? This is the first day. We know nothing about him. Whatever. He points outside to the window. He points to the lawn. He goes, lawns are literally the stupidest thing that humans, that people in our society could have possibly ever thought of. He goes, do you know how many gallons of water we waste a day on sprinklers around the fucking world for a lawn? And he goes, do you know like how much like fertilizer is being wasted? Like how much land is being wasted? He goes, why would anybody have a lawn? Because it looks pretty. So you're gonna waste thousands and thousands of gallons of water a day to make something look pretty and to say that you have a nice lawn, you know? And it's that...
It's the American dream, man.
It's the American dream, bro. It's the American dream. And that's... But that's all part of it, you know, man? That's all part of it. It's the same idea as, like... it's the same idea as, you know, oh, I want to have a bigger pool than my neighbor because, you know... my ego is, you know what I mean? Like that whole thing, you know, yeah. like the,
but
oh,
I feel like it's all changing. I mean, the fact that we have a changing perception, you know, of something like our lawns and like bringing our foods closer to our home.
Right.
I think it just signifies a restructuring of the American dream and what that means for our generation.
I couldn't agree more, Danny. I couldn't agree more. Not only a restructuring for the American dream, but like a reconstruction of just like the fucking way that we view our little niche. You know what I mean? Like everybody has their own niche, you know? Like for example, people in India like probably, you know, aren't really going to hop on the bandwagon with people over here trying to plant tomatoes in their lawns. You know what I mean? But I'm sure that people in India would be down for that. You know, I'm sure they're like, hey, that's a great idea. You know, like, blah, blah, blah. But, like, their main focus, their niche isn't going to be what we're doing over here. You know? So, like, what...
It's a completely different, you know, culture. Like, completely different culture than... I mean, we have Christianity, and they, for the most part, have, you know, more... spiritual, or I mean, not saying Christianity isn't spiritual, but the effect that Christianity has had on American society is far different than, you know, the effect that
Hinduism
has, you know.
Right, absolutely, absolutely.
I would love to go to India.
Oh, dude, country. I think that'd be great. I think that'd be a really cool experience. But what I was saying is, you know, my biggest thing, and I say this on the show a lot, is I really feel like at this day and age, this specific time, our generation, there is a massive deconstruction. And I guarantee you, listeners, you heard it here first. Dave's Good Vibration Station. D-Lou and Davey Crockett. And we're going to tell you, watch, within the next, between the years 2010 in 2015, it's a five-year span. It is a five-year span. Between the years 2010 and 2015, there's this, it's like, it's almost like those 5 years, this five-year span is a threshold. And this threshold is where you get to fine-tune your engine. You fine-tune your parts. You find out, you know, you really kind of define for yourself how you want your reality to be and who you want to be, you know? And you gotta... Mm-hmm. You got to start kicking down the ego and really just breaking down what works and what doesn't work for you. And I feel like as individuals do this, and this is what I'm talking about over this five-year span, as people do this, and I feel like people are really starting to get more in tune with themselves because there's, you know, all these alignments going on and, like, you know, you guys may think I'm crazy, but there's, you know, there's totally – when planets align and crazy stuff, there's, like, there's magnetic actual – it's physics. There's electromagnetic waves of energy that are passed down, like, through, you know, the movement of our galaxies and stuff that hits Earth. You know what I mean? That's like, that's physical. That's physics, that we get these waves of energy from other spots within, you know, our solar system and our galaxies and stuff to where it aligns and it hits us. And I feel like those waves, those, you know, waves of energy are what could be an influence you know, for also our brain waves. And what I'm saying, to end all of this before you guys fucking put me in an insane asylum, I'm saying that, you know, over this 5-year span, we are going to start to see the deconstruction of what does not work. Because I feel like people are becoming more aware of themselves, of their society, of the society that they don't want to have and that they want to have. And if there's a collective that is standing up, you know, and saying, I don't want my world to be this way, like, we will do anything and everything that we can together as a collective to make our world, you know, work better, then they will do it. And I'm telling you, man, you're absolutely correct. I really feel like also with all these elections coming up, all these votes and like all these crazy things within these like next few like elections and these next few like props that are coming up. And I just feel like there's going to be it's going to start out small, but it's going to snowball into this drastic fucking change, you know?
Yeah, everyone needs to vote. I'm telling all your listeners that right now. If you are over 18, you need to voice your opinion, or else the puppets of fascism are gonna you know, keep talking for you.
Totally, totally.
And I use the term fascism loosely, of course. but actually no, because okay, that's a whole other conversation.
No, hit on it. Go for it.
Man, the corporation. but actually, like, we're living, you know, in a police state. Like, whether people can see it yet or not, there's plenty of evidence to suggest that governments, okay, around the world, first of all, and in the United States especially, are just mobilizing, man. I mean, you look at a police officer, okay?
Right.
And he looks like he's in the army.
Right. Right.
And it's just like it is kind of scary.
I've never thought of it. So
at the same time, with this like huge, you know, mobilization, I mean, like, I think the most telling fact is that, for example, like, education, money for education in California,
okay,
is approaching nil. Okay.
Is approaching what?
Nothing.
Okay.
I mean, it is just obscene and absurd, especially at UC Santa Cruz, for example. You know, when you think of Santa Cruz, you think of artistic community, you think of alternative culture.
Right. You know, everybody kind of like bohemian, everyone's on the vibe, like everyone's cool. Yeah. I've been there.
Everyone's aware.
You know,
yeah.
Everyone's aware. Santa Cruz is a wonderful place. It's totally cool. Everyone's hip and happening.
However, a school is made up of many different kinds of departments. And
right.
Unfortunately, now the art department, the music department, I mean, I think this year the art department had, I want to say, 12 or 18 classes.
Okay.
You know, for an entire art community.
Right.
And
right.
That's for all 4 years. So you're saying, you know, 2 or 3 art classes a year.
Right.
When there are 9, when there are 3 quarters per year, and therefore you're supposed to take 9 classes.
Right. Right.
An academic year.
Okay. Okay.
Where the focus is going to is in research driven, like science, mathy oriented facilities that are, for the most part, you know, getting subsidized by the military. Okay, so what you're having is military interests,
okay,
infiltrating a liberal arts education,
so
completely corrupting
it. Go back to how. Okay, just so we can follow. How is the military infiltrating on the public?
Basically, you know, everyone's all the UC regents who are in charge of, who basically manage the UC, basically say, you know, we don't have enough money for the school. Jerry Brown is, you know, taking billions out of public education. So what you have is this like deficit that needs to be filled.
Right.
So meanwhile, while this, you know, facade of lack of money, which I think is complete BS. I mean, the people. Okay, I think that's BS. I think money is just being managed in a completely inappropriate way.
Right.
So you have this facade that there isn't money.
Okay.
So there's this facade
that like there's not enough money to go around. Is what you're.
Right.
Okay.
Which brings in the federal or the military as a way to fund certain spheres of the university.
Okay.
It gives them that opportunity to exert their influence.
Okay.
Okay, so basically they fund, you know, weapons research, technology.
Okay. Instead of putting it into the public.
They're putting them into, you know, instruments of war, basically.
Right. Okay. I see what you're saying. I understand.
And I don't know. It's just really sad.
No, totally. Really sad. Totally. I feel that. You know, I think that the reason why is because they were procrastinating. And they just decided to make more weapons because they were procrastinating.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just messing around. No, D, I totally hear what you mean, man. And I hear you out, bro. I hear you out. And
yeah.
And I think that I'm sorry, go on.
Another thing. We used to have a community studies major, which is basically social justice major. Community studies.
Oh, community studies.
It was basically a social justice oriented major. That's gone. That's been cut.
A social justice oriented major?
Yeah.
So what does that mean? Like, that it's based around like social justice or like
basically going into underprivileged communities, studying why they are the way they are. Really examining society.
Okay.
From the grassroots level.
Okay, I understand. And why was this cut? Because they didn't have enough money to fund it anymore.
Yeah, that's what the story is.
That's what the story is, and that's what they said. Now, were there a lot of people that were involved in this program?
I think I'm pretty sure the community studies major was the first department. It was its own department. It was the first department of its kind.
Right.
In the UC.
Right. In the whole UC system, really.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's really interesting. That's really interesting.
If anyone wants to look into like the specifics of finance and the military's involvement and the UC region's maneuvering, they can search Google UC Santa Cruz Disorientation Guide. That's UC Santa Cruz Disorientation Guide. and I mean, it's blatant corruption at its worst. It's private interests, military interests.
Wow.
Completely undermining public education.
Wow. And is it like when it's like typed out or like whenever like you what's it the resignation guide?
Disorientation guide.
So, does it like it blatantly is just like is it trying to word it in a way where it is beneficial to the school system and like it just isn't, or is it just like super like
it's the truth. I mean, it doesn't say. You know, for instance, George Kiefer is corrupt. It lays out what the UC region does, and there's I don't know, there's 12 or something. But I mean, people who are just completely unfit to manage the UC. For instance, woman named Sherry Lansing is the CEO of Paramount Pictures.
Okay.
Like, what is she doing? I mean, from a student's point of view,
okay,
this woman must be like, she's running Paramount Pictures,
right,
okay?
She
should not be running public education.
Right, and what is her involvement with public education?
She is a UC Regent, so basically what she does, she also owns stock in a company called Qualcomm, which is basically a real estate development company.
Okay.
So one thing that's going on in the UC is, I don't know if you guys have ever been to Santa Cruz, but it's basically surrounded by, you know, masses of forest.
Right. A bunch of trees, forests, just, it's a really great place. Really
right.
Humid.
So the UC wants to expand development into state forest.
They want to expand UC Santa Cruz into state forest?
Yeah. Basically, that's been approved.
You're kidding.
Thing that is preventing them from doing so is a fight with the city of Santa Cruz to get more water to supply that. And that's a huge thing. I mean, we're on the verge of a drought up here, and that would not be chill. So they're attempting to expand. I mean, they've already confirmed that they are going to. They just need approval from the city. Now, the company that's developing this which, you know, received contracts from the UC, is Qualcomm, which is the company that Sherry Lansing, who is a UC Regent, owns stock in.
Wow.
That's blatant. That is corruption at its finest.
Right. What would they want to? What are they going to expand? What do they want to expand? Like, what do they want to put there? You know what I mean?
They want to put two new residential colleges up there. Right now we have 10, so they want to make it 12 at the same time.
Two new residential colleges.
Class sizes are getting huge. And they're not going to build any more academic buildings. And if they did build more academic buildings, I would infer that they would build, you know, technology-oriented buildings.
Right. So they're trying to build housing, is what you're saying?
Right.
Wow. That's really interesting.
So, yeah.
Okay. I feel like this, do you love how we went from like procrastinating to like save the trees?
Love it. Yeah. That's my life, bro.
Totally, dude. Totally, bro. We're not procrastinating about saving the trees. No. No, that's interesting.
Well,
what were you saying?
Sorry. You go.
No, not at all, D. Please take it.
I just think that this is, you know, the loss of the community studies department. The fact that most people at UC Santa Cruz, I'd say 80%+ of people who attend UC Santa Cruz either don't know about this kind of scandal,
right,
or they just don't care.
Right. And I think, you know, because I want to broaden it out a little bit. You know, as Daddy and I talk about, you know, what's going on over here in UC Santa Cruz with, you know, corporate people trying to build more housing and take down the trees and they're almost in a drought and just managing money and like that whole thing. You know, as we're talking about this, I really want to give the listeners the ability to think of Santa Cruz as a metaphor for your community. Because I'll tell you, as Danny talks about, you know, all this development that's going down in Santa Cruz, I can see in my own community that there's, you know, development going on that is stupid. It's like, why are you spending millions of dollars on, you know, something that it is just not necessary. Not only is it not necessary, but it's over consuming for its surroundings. You know what I mean? Let me give you an example. For example, Danny, you remember, we went to high school together,
mm-hmm.
right? And,
yeah.
in our high school, listeners, at Danny and my high school, there was, you know, the little, in the front of the school, there's, you know, pickup drop off area. And then off to the right, there was a big hill with a huge, huge grandmother tree, just like a fat tree that's been growing for probably like 1,000 years there. Like, not even kidding. This huge, beautiful, the biggest fucking tree ever. And it's just like over, like, it's beautiful. It's shady. There's benches under the tree. Like everybody used to hang out at that tree. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And there was definitely like a sense of sentimental value when it came to that tree. You know what I mean? Like it just, it's been there before Calabasas was Calabasas. You know what I mean? It was, the tree's been there before like like these people's great 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 grandparents were even born, you know. And this tree has wow, I sound like I should be in Santa Cruz now. Like, seriously, I know. So like that's what I'm saying. So there's this beautiful, beautiful tree everybody loves and everything. And then 2 years ago, all of a sudden, like, I guess Calabasas High School decides that it'd be a great idea to build another theater. And when I say like another theater, like, you know, their theater program is one of the best theater programs. They're all really into that, and they're very recognized when it comes to, you know, that aspect of the school. So I could see why they would put a little bit more emphasis on the theater program. But literally what they did, they took this tree that's been there for thousands of years and just chopped it down. Chopped it into pieces, and then they cut the hill down, and then they ripped out the tennis courts, and then, you know, now there's this big fucking, like, just it's a big construction site. And sure, it's going to be a big, beautiful theater, and all these people are going to love to see all the performances there, but seriously, they had a theater that was better than, like, any schools in our area. The theater they already had was better than any fucking high schools in our area, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's the same kind of idea, you know? It's where we want to spend the money. It's what we want to put the money into, you know? And then something, when you think about how much does a huge theater, you know, cost to build? Honestly, I'd say probably somewhere, labor and materials and just everything, like, oh man, and then how it affects the whole school? Millions of dollars. A minimum of $10 million. A minimum of $10 million. And this is a big motherfucker. Like,
that's being generous.
Yeah, word. And like, and it's just, you know, where else could we use $10 million even outside of our community? You know, and this is what I'm talking about. Right. This all ties into what Danny said earlier, you know, about us changing, about our society changing, and then the individual becoming part of the whole. You know, it's about seeing past yourself and recognizing that we share this planet together as a collective, you know? And, mm-hmm. you know, the dude that's building the fucking theater is living on the same surface that we are, you know what I mean? They're living on the same street that fucking the guy that has, you know, the people that are like, no, don't do that. You know, they're living on the same place. You know what I mean? So what my whole thing is, you know, like what Danny was saying is we just need to come together and know and decide as a collective like what benefits each and every person. But then, there we go. That all goes into everybody wants different. That's just another show. I can't talk about that in one minute. But
yeah. But you know, it's more beneficial for everyone to express their interest than to not express their interest and
Absolutely.
Let someone else's gather that critical mass for their own selves.
I absolutely agree. Mm-hmm. Danny. Mm-hmm. Danny Lewis. I want to thank you so very much for coming on the show, man. It seriously means the world. You're the best, dude. I love you so much. And oh my dog, listen up, guys. You have just witnessed the vibration station. Hopefully we raised your frequency. This is Dave's Good Vibration Station. Tune in every Sunday at 1 o'clock on LATalkRadio.com, the world's most listened to internet talk radio station. I want to thank Danny. I want to thank all you listeners, everybody out there, sending you unconditional love, light, happiness, joy, and laughter. Have a beautiful Sunday. See you next week. Bye-bye.